sing the good songs like Redeemed, and you hear the preaching of the Word. And Father, we thank you for that message this morning in Sunday school and how we need to be remembered that we are of flesh, and to hear again of your mercy and forgiveness. We are grateful, Father. Help us to love you, to walk with you. And now, Lord, open our eyes this morning's service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's take our books again to another one that we like very much. 524. He hideth my soul.
Announcement. About 3 weeks ago or so, we had our biannual inspection of our furnace. And when the man was here, he wanted to see are fire extinguishers and smoke detectors. And we only had one smoke detector in the building, and I actually didn't know where it was, so I told them we didn't have any. But anyway, the one that we did have was up above the thermostat for the furnace. Since then, to rectify that situation, we, at this man's suggestion, that we get some smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. So what we did was we got two combination units, as they're called, that detect both carbon monoxide and smoke. Those two are installed downstairs. One is installed in the rafters above that short table where we usually put beverages for our fellowship meetings. And also the other one is on the outside wall of the Sunday school room downstairs. Those units, when they go off, actually have a recorded voice in them. It's a female voice and tells you that it's either carbon monoxide or fire. So if anyone is downstairs and hears those alarms go off, the Sunday school room, there's an easy exit right up the stairs, right outside the Sunday school room. That door does operate. I don't have to worry about wondering if the door works or not. So anyway, we have good exits. The man said you have plenty of exits here. And upstairs now we have the detector that's above the thermostat has also been replaced because it was extremely old, and apparently they don't work anymore after 10 years, smoke detectors. The other detector is in the nursery here and the wall between the two rooms. And so those are just smoke detectors. The ones up here are just smoke detectors. So just wanted you to know that we have these things in place, and if you hear the alarms go off, then just take an appropriate exit. And also the thing is, if you have smoke detectors in your house that have been in more than 10 years, their recommendation is that you get rid of them and replace them with new units. The smoke detector detection chambers in these units supposedly don't operate anymore after 10 years, even if you have good batteries in. And so if you go buy smoke detectors now, you'll get one that has a 10-year battery inside that can't be replaced. And so the thinking is that when the battery goes, they give a chirping sound. That's the time you get rid of the whole unit. You toss it out and buy a new one. So anybody have any questions about Cheryl?
Is there any way that we have like a blueprint for the exits? Because I know the facility that I work, they have a blueprint, and it shows where, if visitors are visiting, it shows them where the exits are in case if there's a situation. So do we have anything like that? That would be a good thing to have.
Well, I don't know, but, I mean, our exits... This is a pretty simple building, and we do have the exits marked, which is a requirement that you mark the exits. They're marked, yeah, and we have two good exits downstairs. If you're at this end, you could go right up the steps. If you're at the other end, you could go up the set of stairs there. So, yeah, like I said, it's a pretty simple building. I think it would take you longer to look for a diagram than it would be just to go. And there's other people here. Everybody knows where the doors are. So I don't mean to minimize it, but, I understand what you're saying because some buildings are you'd actually need a guide to get you out because there's so many corridors and so many passageways and everything else that it's necessary in buildings like that. But here I think it's pretty simple. And I don't know if there's a diagram or not. I'm not aware of it. So, okay, any other questions about the... Yeah, Craig?
What did you say about our fire extinguishers? Do we have enough? Or
yeah.
Where are they beside that one in the back?
Well, there's one there. There's one here. Downstairs, there's I don't know if there's one or two. There's one that's right outside the men's room.
There's one outside the kitchen, and there's one down at the end by the men's.
Okay. So they're charged and ready to go.
Yeah. They're kept up to date.
Okay.
Yeah, there's tags on all of them. Man checked all those things and said we were okay with that. Good question. Any other questions? Okay. If you do think of anything else later on, just stop by and ask me.
Thank you.
Just a couple of announcements from me. Don't forget, next Sunday is the year-end banquet. So we're going to have a good time. My brother Renzi will be back with us. And we'll have our normal morning service in Sunday school, reverse order. And then following that, we'll have our fellowship time downstairs. It'll be a good meal. So we'll go bring some good food. We'll have a good time. There are two cards over here on the organ. Brother Bill Donchez's birthday was toward the end of this last week, and we haven't seen him for a little bit. He's had some difficulties, I think, with his knees and whatever else, but he hasn't been able to be with us. So I got a belated birthday card. So that's the smaller of the two there, so you can write a little note of encouragement to him and wish him a happy birthday. And then the other card is for Priscilla. Now, we haven't seen her for a little while. She had some more physical problems, had to go to the hospital with heart difficulty and some other issues. She's now out, but is in rehab. So continue to pray for her that she would get better, be able to be back with us. And there's a card there for her to write a little note of encouragement and help her to wish her that she would get well soon. So that's what those cards are for. And after the service today, you're certainly welcome to participate in both cards. Okay, I think that's all the announcements I have at this time. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 720.
Following the fourth verse in the chorus, we'll repeat the chorus again. All right. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts to that counts today.
Amen. That was a great song. I'll tell you, the hymns that we sang today really went with Sunday school as well. Grace greater than our sin, because we're talking about our sinful nature, and also that Jesus loves even me, even though I go astray and so on. As Brother Jason was singing that hymn, I was thinking of a Psalm 78 and verse number 37 and 38. In fact, why don't we just go there for a moment? We'll read that. It's not my message today, but it's a message that really goes along with that song. And if your heart's not right with the Lord this morning as a Christian, let me just say this, it can be. Amen. It can be in just a moment. Psalm 78 and verse number 37 and 38, this is speaking about the nation of Israel, but the application is for God's people, can be for us. Psalm 78 and verse number 37 says, "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he," verse number 38, isn't that wonderful? "They might not have been, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." Isn't God merciful? Amen. Their heart wasn't right with him, but he was full of compassion, forgave them, didn't destroy them, didn't give them what they rightfully deserved. And by way of application, many times we find ourselves, our heart's not right with the Lord, and I'm so glad that he's still full of compassion, amen, and forgives us and doesn't give us what we rightfully deserve. There's a Psalm 130, I think it is, verse number 3 and 4. It says, "If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities," in other words, if God should judge iniquities, who would stand, amen? There's not one of us could stand God's judgment if he gave us what we rightfully deserve. And so I thank the Lord for his mercy toward us. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And I want to preach a little bit from we're going to do Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, if you would, please. We are almost at the end of the year. Another year, huh? Amen. Pretty soon, 2019. Amen. Boy, 2019. It's amazing, isn't it? And we thought everything was going to end in 2000, right? it's 2020, right? No, 2020, we're going to see straight, amen? And some of you will get that after a while. But anyway, I want to just preach a little bit this morning for those of us that are saved. If you're not saved today, today's a great day to get saved, amen? Today's a great day to understand that Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you on the cross, paid for your sin 100%. And all because of God's great love. Amen. It was love that sent his son. In John 3:16, as you well know, and if you don't know this, let me just tell you, God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a lover and a giver. Amen. And he gave his son for you and me. He gave his son to die on that cross for us. Me and the brother in the back here, I forget his name. I always meet him downstairs. We usually meet outside the men's room down there where the fire extinguisher is and where the exit is. Amen. Just to let you know that. But anyway, we're talking about how you and I, we are born in this world. We have no choice. We face the troubles we face because somebody brought us here. Amen. But yet the Lord, he actually willingly left the heaven to come to this earth. Willingly became a man, willingly became a human being to go through the many things that you and I go through, to suffer the things that we go. He did it willingly. And he did that for us. Amen. He came here for us and he gave his life for us. And we thank God for that. I want to just encourage you as we come to the end of this year and we begin to focus on a new year. Usually when we get to focus on a new year, we start to think about a new goal, right? Or a new resolution, right? A new year resolution. Does anybody have, and I'm not asking you for it, but does anybody have in mind something that you say, you know what, in the new year, I'm going to maybe start something, you know, that I want to focus on. Anybody got ideas? All right, good. Me and one other person. Praise the Lord. But anyway, last year, I determined I'm going to lose weight a little bit more. Amen. And thank God, I'm 195. Finally down to 195, amen? And so, but the sad thing is I went to my doctor, and this is not a joke. I went to my doctor on December the 4th, and the last time I was there was a year before. And I had lost about 80 pounds within that time. And he was excited and he was, you know, amazed and everything else. But in my paperwork, I'm leaving the office and I'm looking at the paperwork. And I notice, I mean, it says at that time I was about 200 pounds. And it says there, I am level one obesity. You want to talk about discouragement? I lost about 130 pounds so far. And they're telling me I'm still obese. I wanted to go get a cheesesteak right away. I'm serious. But I mentioned when I was 330 pounds leaving the office, it did say I was morbidly obese. So they dropped the word morbid, which is good. I like that out of my, you know, thing there. But I got a little discouraged. You know, I'm thinking, why? You know what it is? It's the BMI. Whoever came up with this BMI, body mass index, you know, your height and everything. They weigh it all out and they're like, you know what? You're still like really fat. And so anyway, I got some work to do. Amen. I got to get that level one down. I want that to be gone. Amen. So pray for me if you would. But New Year's is coming. And you know, I think it's a good time to make a new start. I'll be honest with you. I thank God that every day is a new opportunity to have a new start. Amen. You know, Lamentations 3:22-23 says, it is of the Lord's mercy. By the way, we can't get away from the mercy of God today for some reason. I don't know what it is. But it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. In other words, by the way, in the context, Jeremiah is speaking about the nation of Israel. Babylonians came in and they destroyed the nation. They destroyed the temple. They took them captive. But they didn't totally kill everybody. And Jeremiah is looking at the situation saying, you know what? They could have totally wiped this out. We could be totally annihilated. Our nation could be gone. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not totally consumed. His compassion, that's his love, it fails not. There, and by the way, it says this, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Because of the faithful God that you and I have, we get new mercies every day. I thank God for that. Amen. I need new mercies every day. Amen. Now, you may be one of those that just the only thing you do is adjust your halo every once in a while. But me, I'm in need of mercy every day. Amen. And I want to say this, because of new mercies every morning, to you and I, every new morning is a new opportunity to start afresh. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing. Now, yesterday's gone. Amen? You don't have it no more. Tomorrow you may never be. We only have today. Amen? And so it's a present from the Lord. Amen? Today. So anyway, but the new year's coming. And I want to just say this, that as believers, I want us to, if anything, one of the resolutions, if you will, one of the determinations that maybe we ought to make for the new year to come is just to make sure we maintain priorities as believers. There's two priorities that I would like to encourage us today to make sure that as we enter into the new year, we just kind of keep it a priority before us, if you will. The first thing I want us to note, we're going to look in a moment, Luke chapter number 10. We're going to look in beginning in verse number 38. One of the priorities that we'll focus on, we'll find in this text right here. In fact, I'll give it to you before we even begin. Every believer needs to make God's word a priority in our lives. Amen. You and I as saved people, we're born again, we're believers. And by the way, we're believers in the word of God. That's what makes us saved. Amen. We believe the word of God in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, you're not saved only because you believe about Jesus. There's a lot of people believe about Jesus, a lot of different things. Amen. That doesn't make them saved. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Bible, not according to a religious organization. Amen. There's a lot of people celebrating the birth of Jesus, right? There's a lot of religious groups, if you will, that they know some things about Jesus and they believe Jesus was. Many of them believe he was the Son of God and so on, but they don't all believe the correct thing. They don't necessarily believe that Jesus and Jesus alone is all that's needed for salvation. They believe you need to do something else on top of that. Amen. And so you and I are believers because we have the word of God and we believe the word of God to be the word of God. Amen. And this book saved our souls, amen. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, amen. The seed of the word of God got into our heart, and thank God we believed it, and so on. And so you and I are Bible believers, amen. And so as Bible believers, we need to make sure that as we go through our daily life, we maintain a daily diet of the word of God, amen. It's so important, is it not? Boy, we got to be careful because we got the counsel of the ungodly all around us. Can I get a witness on that one? Even the counsel of the ungodly is not necessarily just all kinds of wicked counsel that comes from the depths of hell. Sometimes the counsel of the ungodly sounds really good sometimes. You know, sometimes you'll hear it from Dr. Phil, you know, you never know. What I'm saying to you is we get a lot of people counseling a lot of people about a lot of things. You and I have to be very, very careful that we're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. But you and I need to make sure we are delighting in His Word, even meditating day and night, amen, on a daily basis. One of the things we need to maintain as a priority in our lives, and by the way, I believe that we need to make sure that we are aggressive in keeping that a priority, if you will. Let's look at Luke chapter number 10, beginning of verse number 38. And I want you to just see a little situation here and try to be encouraged, if you will, about the word of God, especially as we get ready to enter the new year. Verse number 38, Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they," referring to Jesus, "as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now we notice it was Martha who was the one who received the Lord Jesus into her house. We know Martha had a sister Mary, which we'll look at, and Lazarus was also their brother. But Martha was the one that received Jesus into her house. And look at verse number 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now look at verse number 40, because 40 gives a contrast to Mary. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." In verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha." And by the way, I think he had to call her name twice because she was so busy. She had to get her attention. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful about and troubled," if you will, "about many things." By the way, notice that. "Martha, Martha, you are careful and you are troubled about many things." Many things. Every day you and I have many things to do. Is that correct? I mean, if you're like me, you have a to-do list. We all have many things to do day by day, week by week, month by month, right? We have many things to do. We got to all be careful that these many things don't become distractions to us. Amen? Life is distracting, is it not? There's no doubt about it. Look at the next verse, if you would, please. Verse number 42. Notice what Jesus said. "But one thing is needful." You see, we got many things that we have to do, but there's one thing that needs to be done. Amen? Jesus said, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath," what? "Chosen that good part." By the way, that one thing is that good thing which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about too many things. There's one thing you need to really make sure that you're focusing on. Never let the many things crowd out the one thing that is so important to every believer." Amen? And what is that one thing? That one thing is what Mary had chosen, and that is to spend time with the Lord in His Word. Amen? As you back up again, let me just back up for just a few moments to show you some things. Actually, I went a little too far. Look with me again in verse number Let me see, verse number 40. Look at verse number 40 again. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, came unto him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? And so on, bid her therefore that she help me. When you're so busy serving the Lord that you got a problem with somebody else, you're too busy. Amen. By the way, Martha was the one that received Jesus into her house. She probably obviously was preparing something for the Lord, to a meal or whatever it was. But it almost seems to me that she probably was going overboard for Jesus. Think about that. She probably could have served him whatever she had to serve him in such a manner that it would just simply be sufficient. But she went overboard, doing way too much. You see, how do you know when you're doing too much? When you're doing too much for the Lord and you have no time for the Lord, you're doing too much for the Lord. Amen? There have been people in ministry, there have been preachers in ministry that have been so busy doing ministry that they've forsaken their quiet, private time with the Word, with the Lord in the Word. Amen? And that's a very dangerous thing to do. Look at verse number 41. Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Oh, you and I need to make sure we focus and have a priority. God's Word needs to be a priority in our lives every day. Now listen, many days the devil, if I were the devil, I'd make sure he would crowd out the Word of God with all the things that need to be done. Amen? Work, 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 work. And people have to work. People have to work. People have to do what they have to do. Isn't that amazing? We have so many things take up our time day by day and all day long. And how much time do we spend with the Lord? I want you to note something, by the way. Back up. Look at verse number. Look at 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And by the way, where was she at? She was at his feet. At his feet is a place of submission. But not only that, she sat at his feet. She sat. We live today in a what we call Burger King society. I want what I want. I want it now. Brothers and sisters, and you probably know this to be the fact that even nowadays, fast food is not fast enough. Can I get a witness on that one? By the fact, some of the people work at Chick-fil-A, right? Fast food is not fast enough. If you watch the news, especially from my city of Philadelphia, you got people beating up the people at the windows because their chicken nuggets weren't done fast enough. And I'm crazy. It's crazy, isn't it? We live in a Burger King society where we want what we want. It's a microwave society. Do you know recently they're talking about people making turkeys in the microwave? How many people have heard that recently? Turkeys in the microwave. Young people. Turkeys in a microwave. I mean, come on. Amen? We are living in a day where everybody wants what they want and they want it fast. I'll tell you one of the things that you and I are not going to get fast. We are not going to get what we need to get from this book right here real fast. When you and I, and by the way, we're all tempted to bring our lifestyle of quick, 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 quick. By the way, oh boy, what a lifestyle. You can order something online and you can have it at your door the next day. You don't have to wait no more, amen? You might have to pay a little extra, but nonetheless, right? We are living in a day where everything's rush, 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 rush. And what happens is sometimes Christians think that I'm going to get what I need to get from God's Word and from the Lord on the drive-by. I'm just going to do a drive-by. In fact, I'm not even going to spend any time. This book's a little bit too big. Give me one of those little daily breads. Give me one of those little daily breads where I can just read a little paragraph every day and really not get into the Bible. Give me a little booklet of crumbs. I don't need the bread of life. And now, by the way, if you have a daily bread and you use it, amen. May it be a supplement. May it be a vitamin, not in your food. Amen. We live in a day and an age where listen, people don't do what Mary did. They don't sit. In the city of Philadelphia, my wife works downtown. And so when I'll drop her off in the morning for work, I drive down South Street. Some of you probably heard about South Street. But anyway, I drive down South Street and I drop her off about 18th and South Street. And I'm driving down South Street and the numbers are getting lower and lower. And around 7th and South, there's a fire department. Now, forever, I drove by, but one day, I got caught behind a trash truck. Now, I don't know how many of you have problems like that up here. But in the city, when you get caught behind a trash truck and you're already into that street, you're in trouble. You just got to wait. I mean, you got to do what you don't want to do. Wait. Amen? And all of a sudden, man, I'm just like, oh, I don't know how I did. I should have turned off. And by the way, I spend the rest of my time saying I should have turned off. What am I doing? You know? And I'm driving by, and not driving, I'm actually crawling. And as I'm crawling, I look to the side, and on the side of this fire department, there is a beautiful mural that somebody had made on the side of that. And you know what? I said to myself, as I'm driving by, I'm looking at it. I got plenty of time to be actually looking at that. And I'm looking at this mural, and I'm thinking, that's really nice looking. And I'm admiring the mural, and I'm enjoying the mural. You know how many times I drove by that thing, and I never even knew it was there? What I'm saying to you is, I was just going through life, just moving. If I never had, by the way, somebody said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and somebody else said, so are the stops. If I would have never been slowed up on purpose, I would have never been in a situation where I could have actually turned over and saw something. It was there all the time, and I never enjoyed it before. I never experienced it before because I never gave it the time of day. Amen? And what I'm saying to you is, how many things, how many beautiful things do we run by in the Word of God because we don't go slow enough to really catch something? You understand what I'm saying to you? I've had personal experiences in my life as I read through the Bible slowly and thoughtfully that I actually saw something and I never saw before. I hope you've had that experience before. You ain't seeing it and you ain't getting it if you ain't thinking about it. One day I was studying Matthew chapter 12 as a young preacher. And as a young preacher, I'm going through Matthew chapter 12, and there's three statements in there. And for a preacher, three statements that sound good, that's a three-point message. Jesus is greater than Solomon. Remember that? Behold, one greater than Solomon is here. One greater than Jonah is here. One greater than the temple is here. How many people recall that in Matthew chapter 12? Three statements. And I'm thinking about that. That's a three-point outline because these are three statements that sound good. And as a young preacher, I'm thinking about that. But then I began to think about that a little deeper. I said, hold on a minute. Is there more of a meaning to what is he saying? I mean, Matthew, he's speaking to the Jews, so it's primarily a Jewish thought. What is he saying here? And as I stopped and thought and pondered, something hit me. Who was Solomon? What was his position? Who was Jonah?
Prophet.
What did the temple represent?
The priesthood.
Prophet, priest, king? How would Jesus be greater than that individual prophet or that priesthood or that king? He is the Messiah, the Christ, the only one that is all three offices in one person. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king in one. He's greater. I never saw that before. By the way, you don't get things just from only reading and thinking. You actually get things when people are teaching and preaching and you think about what they're saying. Now, I know sometimes it's hard. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Hey, there are times we're here, but we're not here. Amen. A preacher was preaching one time. I'll give you an example. A preacher was preaching one time, and he was preaching about when Jesus was 12 years old, you remember, and Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they went up to the Jerusalem, if you will. And then as the family was coming home, Mary and Joseph thought that he was among the family, right? And what did the Bible say? This preacher was preaching. In fact, his message was seeking Jesus. And he was preaching it, and he said that when Mary and Joseph, when they got about a day's journey away, they realized Jesus wasn't among them. You remember that? And then it says they spent 3 days getting back to Jerusalem, and they found Jesus. So this preacher's preaching, seeking Jesus, and he says, look, it only takes a day to get away, and then it takes him 3 days to find him, and he's preaching that. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute. Question I have is this. If they're only went one day away, why would it take them 3 days to get back there to find them? I thought it was a logical question. If you only get away, if you only go one day a distance away, why is it taking you 3 days to get back to find Jesus? I mean, it's a good thought about be careful you don't get too far from the Lord, you know, and because it could take you longer to find him. And I was thinking about that. And I don't know if this is the answer or not, but I had a thought. Can I share it with you? Some of you are saying, please do so. You got me this far. When you leave Jerusalem, Jerusalem is up on a hill. When you leave in Jerusalem, you're going what? Downhill. You can go further faster, can't you? You go further faster when you get away from the Lord sometimes. But going back takes more effort because you got to go back uphill. It takes more effort. It takes more energy. Therefore, it took more time. That's a great application to me. Sometimes it's easy to get far from the Lord. And there's a struggle sometimes to get back to the Lord. Amen? There ain't no doubt about it. But I'll be honest with you. You have to think. You have to think. Amen? And I'll be honest with you. We are living in a day and an age where thinking is becoming a lost art. It really is. I preached this message a few weeks ago at a church. In fact, our brother's Woody's at church out there. And I said, you know, and I was preaching and I said, you know, we got to be careful, you know, that we don't allow too many things to crowd us from the Lord. And I know our lives are filled with all kinds of things. We got to do this, that, and the other thing. And this guy came up to me at the end and he said, you know what, brother? He said, you know what bothered me and what convicted me about the message? I said, what? He said, it's not that I have so much to do in a day. He says, it's my leisure time that I do have. He said, I could sit in front of my TV for a couple hours, even in light of everything I got to do. But I still neglect to spend as much time as I ought to in the Word of God. Amen. Isn't it the truth? Brothers and sisters, and I can testify even in my own flesh, I can sit there and watch How to Build Bridges or whatever it is for hours. It's called amusement. Amen. But yet, we need to make sure we're putting a good amount of time in the book. Amen. Don't let the many things crowd out the one thing. And by the way, and it wasn't on purpose. Hey, Martha wasn't on purpose saying, well, I'm going to forsake listening to the Lord. I'm going to forsake serving the Lord. No, Martha was actually serving the Lord. She had an excuse, if you will. I'm saying to you, she was sincere in her service, but sincerely wrong. Amen? People have to be very, very careful. In fact, let me say this. In the book of Acts, I personally believe that the church started in Acts chapter 2. I believe the church started when the Spirit of God descended from heaven. I don't think you can have a church without the Spirit of God. I know there are people who believe the church started before that, and if that's your opinion, that's your opinion. My opinion is you got to have the life giver to have a church, amen? And that's the Spirit of God. But the fact of the matter is, I believe the church started in Acts chapter 2. And as Peter preached on Pentecost, thousands got saved. And he preached after that, thousands got saved. The church in Jerusalem began, it just had thousands of people. And it was grown, it was big. And all of a sudden, some of the widows were complaining that they were being neglected. You remember Acts chapter number 6. And they said, we're being neglected. We're not getting ministered to and so on. And here's what the Bible says. The apostles said this. It is not reason for us to leave the Word of God in prayer and to go serve tables. Now, it had nothing to do with pride or menial task or anything like that. It had to do with priority. It wasn't reasonable that the apostles should leave the thing that they were called to do and get sidetracked. And that's where I believe the invention of deacons came in. Men chosen to be able to do this business, if you will. I'm saying to you, it's not always bad things that take us away from the Word of God. It could be seemingly good things. Amen? So we all have to be very, very careful. Listen, we all need to make sure that God's Word is a priority in our lives this upcoming year. Let me give you another thing. I want you to turn with me for a moment, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 27. Psalms chapter number 27. Make sure God's word's a priority for you this year. Try to have time with the word, in the word, with the Lord day by day. Hey, put it this way. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. Amen. But we need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You and I need his word to live day by day. And I pray that we will make his word a priority in our lives. Job himself esteemed the word of God above his own necessary food. May God help you and I to have a hunger and a thirst for his word as we go through life. Amen. Let not the devil sidetrack you. And if he ever does, get back on track. Amen. Thank God for that. By the way, we get derailed. Hey, we get derailed. Sometimes we hit some curves and we just get derailed. Amen. I'm so thankful we can catch ourselves and say, nope, you know what? Let's get back on track. Amen. And so make God's word a priority this year. And then number two, I want you to see this, Psalm 27, if you would. And by the way, if you note it, the verse was that we used was one thing. Mary had chosen that one thing. Amen. One thing is a note of priority. And so there's one thing in reference to the word of God. And then here's another verse, Psalm 27:4. Another thing, another one thing that you and I need to make sure we have as a priority in our lives, especially this upcoming year, is we need to make God's house a priority. Make God's house a priority. Believers need the word of God, and believers need the house of God. And by the way, when I say believers need the house of God, I'm not talking about a physical building. Amen? Believers need the people of God. By the way, you are God's building, Paul said. You are the temple of the living God. Amen? You and I are bricks, we're stones, if you will, that make up a habitation for God. People, we need each other. You take a log from a fire, and it'll go out. Amen. We all need each other. Amen. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 4, if you would, please. One thing. And again, we're on that thought of one thing, which is a note of priority. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. For what? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You and I need to have a desire in our hearts to make God's house a priority. And by the way, just the fact that you're here this morning indicates you've made the house of the Lord a priority in your life. Amen. And I know there are some that are not here due to sickness or whatever it is. And God knows that. Amen. But when you can, when you are able to gather with God's people, it certainly is a great need for us. It's a place where we come and get encouragement. Hey, we live in a world where God is not honored on the majority of the people. We live in a world where God's name is used more in vain than anything. Amen. We live in a world that Jesus said, hey, the world's not going to love you. It's going to hate you. It hated me. It's going to hate you. We live in a world where we work in a world. We live around. We work around. And if you're privileged to work in a Christian shop or a Christian business and you have a lot of praise God, that's a blessing. Amen. But you and I live in a world that's not loving the Lord, not living for the Lord, not encouraging you in the Lord. Amen. We gather together with like-minded people to realize, hey, we're not the only ones trying to live for God and trying to do the Lord's work and will and so on. It's good to know that there are others as well. Amen. And we can get together and we can love one another. We can encourage one another. We can provoke one another to loving and we can edify one another. We can build up one another. That's the whole thought about one another. Amen. Make God's word and God's house a priority in your life. God's house is again, the people should be loved by God's people. There's a Psalm, matter of fact, we're near there. Look at Psalm 26, verse number 8, if you would, please. Psalm 26, verse number 8. Notice what David said about the house of God. Obviously, it wasn't the church at that time, but by way of application, the house of God is wherever he's at. Amen? Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. And he says this, and the place where thine honor dwelleth It's so good to be able to go to a place where his name is being magnified and not used as a curse, where songs of praise are lifted up to him in honor and praise. Amen? That's the good thing. That's the beauty of it. In fact, that psalm that we read said, he said, one thing I've desired, the Lord. I want to go to the house of the Lord. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to see the Lord. And by the way, we see the Lord in each other. We see the Lord in the Word of God. Amen? And that's what we need. We need to see him. And even once a month, we see the Lord in the Lord's communion, the Lord's table. We see his death and so on. God's house is a... I said it this way, God's house is a place that we should love, but be honest with you, it's God's house is a people that we should love. Amen? It's a place or a people that we should actually long for. The psalmist said in Psalm 84, 1 and 2, how amiable, which means lovely, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You and I that are saved, we ought to have a heart's desire to meet with the Lord and to have the Lord meet with us. Amen? There are some people that go to church for the wrong reasons. Only. They have no interest in the Word of God. They have no interest in God working in their heart and life and speaking to them. They're more of a social thing. I was thinking this morning on my way to here, how many people are going to get up and go to church basically out of simple religiosity? No heart at all. No real... They'll go to church, they'll go through all kinds of motions, and they'll leave. Amen? How many truly... you know what my heart's desire is? When I go to the church, in fact, my heart's desire is to go hear the Word of God, that God might speak to my heart. That's what I want. You know what I mean? You got people that are more interested in, you know, well, I don't really like the preaching. I just like the singing, is what they say. You're basically saying, I just like the music thing. I don't like the Word of God. That's terrible. Amen? Not many people, sad to say, are crying out, if you will, in their hearts, I want God to meet with me. In fact, the reason we should go to God's house, here it is, it's God's house. You imagine somebody coming to your house for something else? Amen? Oh, I'm not here to see you. Excuse me, I want to see what's in the refrigerator. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, like I'm not offended now. And by the way, sad to say, some people only come for what's in the refrigerator. Sometimes you announce, hey, it's Fellowship Sunday next week. We're going to have roast beef. You'll have everybody coming out from, you know, where you been at? Amen. And by the way, don't let that stop you coming from next week and bringing roast beef. And we do eat pork around here. But anyway, 1 Timothy 3:15. Listen, the church is the house or the church of the living God. The living God. He's not dead. He's alive. This book is alive. And he's able. Oh, by the way, only he can do this. How in the world can God take one sermon and out of it speak to everybody's heart that is looking to be spoken to? Only God can do that. Amen? And sometimes it's not what's directly said. It's what's said to you. Spark something else that was read by you from last week or whatever it is. Something. Who knows? We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. Amen? In fact, that's the beginning of a song, which I'm not going to continue. Psalm 84:10 says this, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000, implying 1,000 anywhere else. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. God's house should be loved by you and I, should be longed for by you and I. In fact, we should be glad, like Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. In Psalm 122, we call that an ascent psalm. There are 15 psalms, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, I believe it is, that the children of Israel would sing during the three pilgrimages that they would make to Jerusalem. They would sing these psalms on their way there in excitement and anticipation that they were going to the house of God. They were going to the city of the great king. By the way, they were excited and they were traveling a distance. Some people have a problem and they only got to travel around the corner. Amen? Oh, would to God we would... You know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes church ain't exciting because church ain't real church. You know that? I've tried to visit churches to go to and think, hey, maybe our family can go here. And you went in there and it just wasn't even what it should be. Amen? It was almost like the Lord wasn't there. Because they're more interested in getting people than they are in feeding people. Amen? The church, the ministry of the church is not to entertain the goats. It's to edify the sheep. But if you're going to be more concerned about edifying sheep, you're probably going to have a small pasture. Amen? Ain't that the truth nowadays? You go to some of these big churches, they look like they have it, but then you listen to what they say and they really have nothing. You know? Let me just say this. Church is not always church. Because the Lord's not always there. So if a church is really a church, it's going to be a place that's going to be a refreshment and a blessing to the people of God. Amen? There ain't no doubt about it. The Lord Jesus, when he began his ministry, he went into the temple. And you know what he did, right? He cleansed the temple. And he said, this is my Father's house. This is my house. And you've made it, cleaned it out. Some people debate whether he did it one time or two times. Some believe he went in the beginning of his ministry and then at the end of his ministry did the same thing. He went in there and he had to clean it back out again. The whole point is this. When he went to the house of God in Jerusalem, by the way, the nation of Israel is also referred to as the house of God. Jesus went in there, if I can say it this way, he came into his own nation. He came to the house of God. He cleaned it out. He tried to reclaim that house. You remember that? He tried to reclaim that house, present himself as the king, as the Messiah. And what did the nation do? We will not have this man to reign over us. We have no king. But see, basically, no, get out of our house, the nation of Israel said. Is that correct? Am I unbiblical about this? What am I saying? They took over the house. He said, I'm here to take back. I'm here to establish my kingdom. I'm here to bring things. One of the last things Jesus did, he looked over Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often I would have gathered, right? You know what he said? But you would not. Does anybody know the next verse? Therefore, what? What? The two words, the first two words.
Your house.
He wanted it to be his house. He claimed it, right? He this is my house. I'm coming to claim my house. No, they said, get out of here. He said, okay. Your house is now going to be desolate. See, in AD 70, but about 40 years after, it was going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. You don't want me in your house? It's not my house no more. It's your house. Okay, your house. You have it your way. You can call it your house. There are some churches, it's the pastor's house, not God's house. There are some churches, it's the people's house, not God's house. And sometimes that's why it's not a blessing to the people of God. Amen? When God's house is God's house, it will be a blessing and a refreshment to the people of God. No doubt about it. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. They shall abundantly be satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Those that dwell, or those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit and they shall be fat and flourishing in their old age. You see, you and I need to make sure we make God's house a priority and always pray that God's house stays God's house. Amen? So that it can be the blessing that it's intended to be. Amen? Two priorities my prayer is for all of us this upcoming year. Let's make God's word the one thing we make a priority. Let's make God's house the one thing we make a priority. Amen? In our to-do list, let's put these at the top. And let everything else fall where they may. Amen. Let's pray. And as I pray, our brothers will come and close up our service. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the gathering today. Father, many times we get sidetracked. It's part of our human nature. Sometimes we just the flesh, sometimes it's the world, sometimes it's the devil. We just get sidetracked from the most important things in life. Sometimes we minimize the importance of your word in your house and we just don't prioritize. I am thankful for the people that have gathered here today because they're expressing their understanding that coming together on this day in this house, your house, is an important part of their life. I thank you for that. May every one of us make your word the top of our list. Your house, the top of our list. Father, and if we've failed thee, may we do like Paul did, that one thing. Forget those things which are behind and reach forth on those things which are before. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's not sure they're saved and they'd like to speak to me, I'd love to speak to them. If they're a man and if they're a woman, we could have somebody speak to them. May they understand they could see me and would love to talk with them. But I pray for your people today that as we end off this year and get ready to focus on a new year, in light of all the resolutions we make, Lord, good ones I would imagine, may these be the main ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to number 824 all the way in the back of the hymn book. pray that your word and your people, your house, will be our priorities this coming year. And as part of that, may our hearts be conscious of the needs of those around us who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Help us to be looking for opportunities to share your word with people. Even if it's only for a minute or two, you can take that seed and implant it into the hearts. Help us to remember that it's our job to spread the seed, not to save people. You do that. Your Spirit does that. So may we be faithful to the mission that you've called us to do, to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. We pray that as we wind down 2018, help us to remember those things that you gave us victory in, and help us to remember also those things that we failed you in, but only so that our hearts will be right with you, and that will be make the step of turning back to you so that we can live more for you in the days that lie ahead as you tarry. Give us a good day. Give us safety as we travel home. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.